It's more than just sports talk. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wake up! This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Start packing. Dribble in for Tiffany on the morning shift. Wake-up call. Lines are open, I guess, 404-726-0929. Braves a 6-1 winner last night, improved to 10-5. Astros dropped to 6-12. Marcelo Zuna.
Marswole.
14-game hitting streak. And, of course, Ronald Acuna still trying to come up with home run number one on the season, but I have a feeling he's going to get him in bunches once he gets going.
He hit one foul down the left field line yesterday.
Oh,
it had to have gone, I don't know, 370, it felt like.
I thought it was gone. When I first saw it, I go, oh, that's the first one, finally.
He's hitting the ball hard the last few days. It's not like he's hitting little rinky-dink groundouts. Like, he's squaring the ball up, man. It's just it's not quite coming out in the stat sheet, and it's not flying over the wall. But once that launch angle that we always talk about, once that seems to match up with the exit velo, you guys know, and then we'll start going oppo like Taco.
When your fifth or sixth hole DH can slash .365, .412 on base, and a .746 slugging, I think he'll be like,
"That'll work."
Huh? Well, take your time, Ronnie.
Yeah, just settle on in, buddy.
It's all good.
It's all about the long
singles,
run.
Still a few bases. Have some laughs. You know, it'll be all right.
Have some laughs. Still a few bases. Darius Vines, 25-year-old kid. 4 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Pretty good outing for the soft-tossing right-hander with a wicked changeup. So let's get to the wake-up call, shall we? Let's go to Drew and Marietta. What you got, Drew?
Good morning, guys.
Drewstifer, what's going on, buddy?
All right, so I've got a couple of thoughts here. So bear with me here, but the first one, Mike, your list. I didn't hear Damian Lillard mentioned on that list.
Yeah, that's definitely a hot topic, it seems like, in the old social circles.
Got the same guy, Drew. I think one of his issues is the same that kind of plagues Trey, and that's defense.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, I need the Astros to wake up. I'm not an Astros fan, but it's good for baseball when they're good, I think.
Dude,
and they suck.
dude, that's such a valid point. Watching them play last night, I was like, man, come on. You know what I mean? It's like the old episode from The Simpsons when it's like, he's dead already. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Wake up.
6-12, that's brutal. That's a tough way to start the season. So.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Drew.
I appreciate the sentiment. I'm not going to lie. I could do without seeing the Astros playing fall baseball this year.
Oh, come on. Is it because of the cheating thing?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay, I was going to say, it's man. Let's bury that at this point.
No, I mean, they've been there, what, 7, 8 years in a row now
in
deep in postseason. I don't mind seeing what would be so bad about seeing the Mariners pop in there, or, you know, Ron Washington's Angels pop in there. I mean, you know, I know the Rangers won the World Series last year, but I don't mind having some new teams pop up.
Did y'all see speaking of wake-up calls, did y'all see Ron Washington talking about the young player they had overrun second base the other day and get tagged out? Ronnie's like, I think it's a teaching moment. I'll be honest, it was embarrassing for all of us. I was like, boy, Ronnie's like, Ron Washington's like, I ain't in Atlanta anymore, buddy. This ain't the Battery. These young guys are doing it a little bit differently over here. He's already had a couple of team meetings. So
yeah, one right out, I think, after the first series.
This is the first two games.
Dude,
we got the break speed off of us 2 days in a row. It's time to meet about this thing.
But I could see the way he called the meeting, like in his office talking to his this ain't gonna fly. We gotta do something about this.
Total score at this point is 16-2. We should probably talk about this.
Yeah.
Here's one for you, July 1st in left field for the Atlanta Braves, Mike Trout.
No way. No way. It's too much money for us. Too much money.
Well,
I get it, man, but that's not what Alex does.
What's left is what I'd have to ask. How much are they gonna cover? And I say the Angels, are they gonna pay three-fourths of what's remaining?
Also, the question is, how much more productivity, if you're still in a platoon at that point, how much more productivity can you get out of Mike Trout?
Well, you're not
than
gonna
you would
be
out of the platoon.
You won't be in the platoon. Well, you won't be after that. A lot. I would say if a healthy Mike Trout is still, with all due respect, better than a platooned Kelnick and Adam
Duvall. I think
Duvall.
He'd be shocked.
I wouldn't.
I think he'd be shocked.
I don't think I would.
I think you're getting more. He's definitely better, but, I mean, what is he making, $30 million a year? Is he $30 million a year better?
He's 40, isn't he?
That's the question.
Yeah,
it's not.
Look. The precursor to you're right. The precursor is money. But let's say that they agree to pay a good amount of that and you're not getting stuck with it, then, yeah, it's better. I mean, you know, you just go look at his – dude, he's already got 7 home runs this year with 10 RBIs and 18 hits. I mean, and he's – that's in a mediocre team.
All right. Well, we can talk about this one in the next segment because we will be talking about the Braves coming
That's
up
right.
a little bit.
Let's go to Hurricane Otis up in Gainesville. The question is, are you a Cat 5 or just a weak little Cat 1?
Otis!
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I got 3 compliments this morning. I'm going to compliment on Rob. I listened to him and Randy last week. Man, that was good, Rob. That's a good combination. And Squid, I'm a proud member of the nation.
That's right.
And I love when you went off on State last week. Man, I love that. And, and Dylan, I listened to you from 6 to 9 the other day, and I'll take you over Freaky any day. Keep it up, Dylan. That's my wake-up call.
Damn.
Thank y'all.
He threw a lot of bouquets and then just backed the bus over John Freaky.
Well, that's what
Not only that, but I don't know, the omission part for me was – he's like, I got 3 compliments.
Well,
Rob, Bo, and Dylan. I was like, oh.
Well, let's do 2 things. First off, it's only like your guys don't take their shots at me constantly. And the second thing is,
the mafia does.
Hey, Rob, the nation pulls no punches. Good job.
How'd you go off on Steak? What happened?
There's a multitude of things I went off on last week. It was probably a back and forth between me and Steaks. Probably it. That's probably called him out on something.
Yeah,
I did mention that when probably on Friday with the Cam Newton stuff popped up.
Oh, that's what it was.
I did say that Steaks thing. I ain't doing it. And that wasn't necessarily a shot at this, you know, an acknowledgement of we're different. I don't know if you noticed, but we're different people.
And that's okay.
I mean, I know that Steak is from Macon, Georgia and everything, but I'm not. I'm more from a Northwest Georgia kind of guy.
That's a different breed altogether. Isn't it? Let's go to Derek in Ellenwood. Good morning, Derek. What do you got?
Good morning, guys. I got something good. All was talking about Brett Favre and Buckhead. It wasn't Buckhead. It was the field. If you can listen, anybody that's listening now, I need you to Google 30 for 30 Brett Favre. He's narrating it. And he didn't understand. You had to get understanding. He didn't know what the nickel was. He is a man with a gold jacket, and he didn't get understanding. The coaches were telling him, but listen to Brett Favre tell the story about how he didn't understand what the nickel was in his history. He got a gold jacket because he didn't know how to read that 5th defensive back. He asked the player rather than the coaches, what was the nickel? And they kept telling him, look out for the nickel. So if you guys, Bo, I know you're going to Google this 30 for 30 and listen to Brett Favre.
I've seen it.
Story.
Yeah, I've seen it. I appreciate you, Derek. Yeah. He had no idea.
Bo is our resident Googler / dictionary / thesaurus. You know, he likes to work the mouse over there.
I've been known to click at a timer. All right, stop. I can't.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's go to the guard shack. We got Will at Mike's Mafia headquarters.
Will, welcome in, Will.
What's up, my boss leader? Mike Mafia.
What's up, buddy?
How we doing, gentlemen? Love when you guys are together, man. It's awesome. Not that I don't love Tiff, but something about Tribble just filling in just makes the morning a little bit better.
Yeah, that'll be.
Yeah, wake-up calls for the Braves. I know we got that murderer's row of a lineup, but I don't think it's going to sustain without some quality pitching. So I'm going to need AA to go out and find us another starter or two that can give us 5-6 innings. I mean, that's just what we need. It's just not going to work, and the lineup can't just do it every night. Other than that, Mafia right. member out.
Thanks, Will. That's a great point because what was the one – to me, the one bright spot of that matchup with Philly last year in the playoffs. I think it was and Spencer Strider, it's not like he didn't have his bumps, but he didn't pitch terribly.
No, he didn't.
He pitched well, actually. He pitched really well.
Well, when you give up like a two-run homer, three, it's magnified because you're not hitting or scoring.
When you look into a five-game series and you think about obviously hoping Max Fried stays healthy and that Chris Sale can find form and Charlie Moe possibly being that right-hander in that setup that can kind of calm things down, there is questions about a playoff pitching. But, you know, hopefully your bats don't go quite as cold as they did last year when you got to that point.
Yeah, we're a long ways away, okay? There's nobody available right now that is going to come in here off the street or in a trade that you're going to get in April 15th.
This is the old Dave O'Brien conversation.
Well, he's right. Yeah, but he's right. And I said it to I'd said it in a conversation with family.
It was spot on.
The day before, me and my brother were talking about literally the day before. And he goes, well, we got to go try. I said, I'm not trying to sound like a jerk, but who the hell are you getting on April 8th that's going to come in here and change the game? For instance, let the young guys battle it out and then reassess when you get in late June, mid-July, and you can figure out who's going to be available because there are less teams trading with the extra playoff spots than ever before.
Yeah, people come available we can't even comprehend coming available now.
You got, what, 2 plus 3 months to find out what you have with Schauver and Elder and everybody else. And then if you get into panic mode, then maybe you look at something in July at the trade deadline.
And if anything, we've seen from the regular season last 2 years, the offense can help you get there. It seems to be in the postseason when they disappear.
All right, come back. We're gonna dive further into the Braves as they get the win last night. What an 8-10 first pitch in Houston tonight. Braves now 10-5, Astros 6-12. Talk a little Georgia Bulldog spring day action with Roddy Nimbulsi. He's gonna be joining us at we're gonna crap on the Life of Squid segment. We're going to do that next as well.
Yeah, we'll do it next as well because there, Rob, there could be another defection from PGA Tour. I'm not really buying it, but we'll find out maybe who could be the next in the Life of Squid on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What are the haps? Start the day the right way with the morning shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
On Sports Radio 929 The Game.
So brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get packing. You will sell that home. Well, the Braves are big.
You will sell that home.
You will sell that home.
You will.
4-run ninth inning last night. Braves explode to the 6-1 victory over the Astros. And Darius Vines, a little turbulent out the gate, but I think once his nerves settled down, 4 2/3, pretty good. 3 hits, 1 earned run. Too many walks, though, for my taste. He walked 3, struck out 4.
Yeah, I thought what you don't expect the words of calmness to come from an umpire, Rob.
I know. I love this story. Tell the
but
story.
But Phil Cousy, who was one of the umpires last night, when Darius is coming off the field, I want to say it was in the first inning. It might have been in the second. Whichever inning he had a little bit of trouble in, it was after that. And it was obviously Jackie Robinson Day, and I guess Darius had talked to him before the game. So he comes off, and Phil is checking him for substance, and he says, hey, because Darius's father's no longer with us, and he goes, hey, your dad's proud of you. And it kind of hit Darius Vines. I think last night was a little bit of an emotional night for Darius Vines because him and his dad had talked a lot. His dad had talked about the importance of Jackie Robinson to him when he was growing up, and it kind of stuck with him. And it really calmed him down and just locked him in.
Just that one remark right there is worth about $10,000 in therapy.
And it's not a person that you know very well either, to my knowledge.
Right.
There's only two. I think there's only two sentences like that that have the impact on males that does, and it's that one. Your dad's proud of you, and you're a good dad. Like when somebody tells you you're a good dad, it's like,
oh, I thought you were gonna say you want to come up to my room.
Not quite. But that one, listen, let's put that at, 2A and 2B. Okay. Yeah. No, I watching the game last night, I think both these starting pitchers kind of had similar flows of the game. Eric Geddy goes for Houston last night. He was in deep, deep trouble in the second inning. A lot of pitches, dude. Was he at, he was like mid-50s as far as pitches go by the end of that inning.
Yeah.
And so you knew he was going to have a short
night. Oh, as a pitcher, you just want to be anywhere but on that mound on days like that.
Dude.
Like, good Lord, I'm just grinding.
I mean,
grinding
think about it, man. Think about it. You got, I think the bases loaded were, bases loaded in the second. I think Matt Olson or Austin Riley, one, are up to bat, and you're going, dude, I'd rather be anywhere but here. You know what I mean? Like, you want to talk about trying not to catch too much of the plate, but knowing the bases are loaded and there ain't no out. There's no easy out coming.
What is that like, though, to your point, to y'all's point, like, Rob, you were a guy that pitched, like, when you're grinding and the bases are loaded and it's just like, seems like every pitch is either fouled off or you can't get a called strike. But I get, it's got to be tough when it's getting fouled off constantly, right? Because there was one time with the Acuna at bat that was just felt like it lasted forever.
Oh, it drives you nuts. I made a great pitch there. That I should be out of this inning, but no, he just gets – Freddie Freeman's like a master of that. He can give you the most weird, awkward-looking swings just to fight something off just to live for another pitch.
It's the Tony Gwynn effect. Yeah, I can remember just Tony Gwynn would reach and you know, there'd be a ball a foot off the outside edge of the plate, and he'd just flick his wrist at it and hit it into the other dugout, and it would be like, all right. And then he'd square the next one up and, you know, hit it opposite field into the gap.
Chipper was the same way. That's why Tony Gwynn, Chipper, Freddie have all, like, you know, we don't talk about baseball, about batting average like we used to, because it's really on base. But that's why those guys were always 300 hitters. Like, Chipper Jones, people forget, was a lifetime 300 hitter.
Yep. Tony Gwynn was 336. We talked about it the other day. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was actually 339.
I don't think it was that high.
Yeah.
Didn't I read somewhere he could go 0 for 500 and still have a career 300 average if he were still playing and, of course, still with us?
His strikeout numbers are the most sickening. They're sick in a good way. Mm-hmm.
There, like, was a, there was an, in the 90s, man, there were just such a number of hefty lefties. You know, you guys remember watching Mo Vaughn hit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, Mo Vaughn.
The most dramatic uppercut swing ever, man.
Goodness,
his uppercut swing was
guy
majestic.
Would pump that back arm like Gary Sheffield almost.
Don't forget Cecil.
Dude, Cecil and not quite in that category, but I used to love watching Kirby Puckett hit, man, before he had the floaters, in the mid-90s or early 90s. Watching Kirby Puckett was always just unbelievable.
338, we were both wrong. It's 338.
I told you it wasn't that high, so I was not that wrong.
Well, you said 336, so you were two off. I was one off. 388 on base
percentage. Price is right, you went over.
Hawks, Bulls tomorrow night, 9:30, of course, right here on Sports Radio 92.
Why is it so late?
That's weird, isn't it? What is this, the men's national championship game on a Monday night?
Dude, I was,
feels like.
I mean, you ain't kidding.
What time did the Braves game start last night? I tuned it in probably
8:10, I think.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there going, dude, Houston, I get it, man. They're, you know, there was a point in time, and I get it, man. When you look at Texas as far as the United States goes, it's usually involved in Western sports. You know, it's they always get thrown into the Western Conference or whatever it may be. But I'm sitting there looking at it going, dude, Houston, like, what are we doing? You know, like,
it's always been like an 8:30.
It's a central time, though. It's a 7:10 anywhere else.
It's it just, listen, I remember growing up, Houston, the Astros were in the National League Central when I was growing up watching the Cubs. You know,
it was a
six team Central Division,
and the Brewers weren't.
And they had to get moved around to kind of even things out. It used to blow your mind, man. But it just, I settled in last night. Like I said, I was so exhausted from golf yesterday. I settled into the bed, and it's 8:30 or 8:45, 9 o'clock, and I'm watching the second inning. I'm going, what is going on here? I'm like, no way, I'm going to keep my eyes open for the end of this.
I felt old yesterday. For the first time in a while.
I told Rob that just between breaks. I said, dude, I am so sore in places. I have no business being sore from playing golf.
Yeah, I had a long weekend. We were out and about. We had, because we were watching Masters, and we were just moving around, and it was one of my buddy's birthdays. So Friday we went to the local spot, got the Squid Billy special. But, I don't think you know this. I got my own my menu item now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's not on the actual menu, but it's in the computer.
What, at the Cancun?
That's right.
Place?
It's called the Squid Billy Special.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to comment here.
What
this
is that?
So
some
absurd.
Rubbery calamari?
No,
warm beer?
No. Look, they actually are pretty known for their wings. So it was six wings and then a taco especial. It's the best of both worlds.
They put your name on the menu. You've actually got.
Well, yeah,
just
in the computer at the moment. We haven't gotten the menus reprinted, but
I need to start being a regular somewhere so I can, you know.
Well,
I've been a regular. Nothing gets named after
mafia
me.
Mafia mashed potatoes.
I just
come in and get reminded I forgot to pay my tab from the last time I was there. That's the extent of what it goes
on for me. I guess you guys don't make an impression like Squid Billy does. And you know what? Talking about Squid Billy, let's go in the life of me.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right. Get over to WSauce.com, and you can find your bottle, Rob, of Bloody Mary mix. Key West style.
I like the idea of that. Yeah. Big Bloody Mary fan.
And if, you know, one day you'll have your own menu
well,
item.
If she's not bleeding, that's okay, too.
One day you'll have your own menu item, and maybe, just maybe one day, you will have your own truck and trailer repair. I know what he said. I'm just ignoring him.
I didn't say anything. I'm looking at
your
you
own, your own truck and trailer repair, like I do. The Status Truck and Trailer Repair, the official truck and trailer repair of Squid Nation. Call
so
Anthony
you
today.
Feed people and you can get your truck fixed.
That's right. What more can a Paulding County boy ask for? All right. There is some rumblings that I think are completely nonsense. But Rory McIlroy has been rumored to be headed to the LIV Golf Tour. It's reported that he has been offered $850 million and
good Lord.
2% equity in LIV Golf, which is right now probably 2% of nothing. Because I think they're spending more than they're making.
Can you explain to me why they're not merging with the PGA at this point?
Because I thought it's a matter of time. It seems like it's...
There were antitrust hearings. The government got involved. The same thing that messes everything else up. The government gets involved. I mean, they ruined college football once they got involved because they went in without any rules or boundaries with NIL, and they just started letting individual governments in different states start saying, yeah, we're going to make this the deal here, which is different than the other state, and then it hamstrung others. So government's involvement is one of the reasons. Look, I don't believe this is true at all, and I'm interested what y'all's take is, but he's been anti-LIV. Some would say the way he was backstabbed by Jay Monahan in the PGA Tour is a reason for him to go. I don't disagree with that. But the fact that him and Tiger have started this little golf, not little, but this golf league that they have that's about to start up, where it's like an indoor thing,
yeah.
And then owners like Arthur Blank have already bought teams, have names, and then, not to mention, but some of those partners that Rory and Tiger have partnered with, like Arthur Blank, if I'm not mistaken, are putting a bunch of money into the PGA Tour as well. John Henry, the owner of the Red Sox, has been rumored to do that. So I just don't think that Rory would go to these great lengths in this country to keep the tour together to then go join a tour that he's been highly critical of, including all the players who he's been highly critical of joining, most notably Phil Mickelson.
From my understanding, though, the John Henry, Arthur Blank thing of coming in has been in order to try to get the okay from the government to be able to merge LIV because, you know, they want it to be more spread out and have multiple owners, not just one owner. So I don't know. If I'm him, though, at this point, I've been backstabbed, I'm taking the money. Like $850 million is
yeah.
a ton of money. You can buy all the – you can build the arena down there in South Florida that they're using for this new league for that amount of money, honestly.
Loyalty only goes so far when you've been treated like that. I'm not disagreeing with that. But for all those other reasons, I just don't think he's the type of person. I don't think you can stand there and scream as loudly as he did metaphorically about how wrong it was to turn around and just take the biggest payout of all a couple years later. I just don't think you can do it.
Yeah. You got backstabbed enough, though. I'd pull the trigger.
Still hit LIV.
hit
LIV. You hit it or you hate it?
Hey, coming up next.
I still hit LIV.
Yeah, but you'd hit that money, wouldn't you? Yeah, I agree.
I still hit LIV.
Yeah. You hit it.
I'd hit it 850 million times, right? Hey, we got an interview with the publisher of UGASports.com, Roddy Nabulsi, some of his observations from G-Day, which happened on Saturday. That's coming up next on The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Like I hit.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of The Morning Shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. Let's go right out the WaitForIt.com hotline. Welcome on the publisher of UGASports.com, one Roddy Nabolsi. Roddy, good morning, sir. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And happy Transfer Portal Day. All right, who's going to enter from Athens? Who's going in? I hear a running back, maybe.
Well, they already had one running back go in, Andrew Paul, and kind of knew something like that was coming when they brought in Trevor Etienne from Florida. I mean, he's a phenomenal back. He's a running back like Georgia hasn't right. had the past few years. And you got three freshmen coming in, and just you got a log jam at running back, so that's not a surprise. And I speculated on a couple names I heard, but we saw this last year, last December, you know, with like Julian Humphrey. A bunch of guys actually said, look, I'm going to go into the portal. But then after they had a couple conversations, they came back out. So if guys who actually put their name in and jump back out, then I'm not going to speculate on a kid who's, you know, thinking about it. But, yeah, there are going to be more, definitely. I'm thinking in the term of maybe possibly eight. You know, it wouldn't shock me. And Georgia's a little bit over the number on scholarships, so they're going to have to shed a few guys anyway. So it's coming. But, yes. Hey, they might also add a few guys. So, you know, keep your eyes open.
Yeah, it's always a numbers game.
I was going to say, the old cap number hokey pokey.
Yeah.
You know?
Kirby's like, yeah, you can enter the portal if you want. You go ahead. Roddy, we know that Carson Beck is the guy coming back on the Georgia offense. I mean, he is the strength of it. As he goes, they will go. But what – take away from him, like, what would be the strength of this Georgia offense coming off of the spring game if you had to pick one position?
I would go with the position group. I mean, right off the bat, I want to talk about the offensive line because it's just so this is one of the best offensive lines Georgia's had. That's saying a lot when you say, you know, Amarius Mims is no longer out there. This is a first-round draft pick, and you're going to be better without him. And that's just because overall, I think the fact that with Ernest Green in year two at left tackle, Micah Morris at left guard, and he's just an absolute people mover. You got Jared Wilson, who's maybe one of the fastest offensive linemen I've covered in 30 years. This guy can actually fly. You don't get too excited about a fast center, but when he's got to climb to that second level, you're like, wow, that guy can move. And I saw him pull yesterday on the counter. Okay, pull the center. Right. Like that.
You just got Mike excited.
The old Jason Kelce right there. The old Jason Kelce. Yeah.
But
a little CG pull there. You got to love that. And then Tate Ratledge is a five-star superstar at right guard. And then Xavier Truss, who's been in the program 17 years, you know, at left right tackle. You don't have a Brock Bowers and you don't have a huge blocking tight end and – you're probably not – I'm not going to say you don't need a Brock Bowers. You absolutely do, but you don't have to worry so much about how are we going to replace those blocks that Brock gave you. Well, when you've got those guys, you know, and they're giving Carson Beck all day to throw, and they're opening holes for Trevor Etienne. And you saw him, Trevor, scoot through a few tiny little gaps. He has that burst that DeAndre Swift does. I'm like, if you're often a defensive coordinator, you're like, well, look, I can't pressure the quarterback. I can't get to him. I've got to be terrified about the run. And if I give this guy time to pass, he's just going to pick me apart. How do I attack this Georgia team? So, and it'd be easy to pick one position, but I'm just going to have to say, look, that group, that O-line up front, because I think that's the strength of the entire team. I like Dom Lovett. I think one position, you know, the slot receiver, Georgia's loaded a slot. But give me that offensive front up there. Just if they decide to run it on you on third down, and what was Georgia's problem against Alabama? Couldn't convert third and short.
Yeah.
This year, I don't know that anybody's going to be able to stop them on third short. They're going to be pretty damn good.
Well, who's going to replace Van Pran as the leader on that line, though? Is there a one guy, or is it Carson Beck just going to run the whole offense as the leadership guy?
Well, Kirby said yesterday, he said, look, I like what Carson's doing. You know, he's had a great spring. I want to see him grow from a leadership standpoint. Tate Ratledge, to me, would kind of be the guy because Tate was, you know, the right-hand man for Cedric Van Pran all year last year. He's an upperclassman. Xavier Truss also has stepped up in his leadership over on the right-hand side. Micah Morris is kind of feeling himself a little bit, but give me Tate Ratledge. I mean, everybody kind of looks to him. Hey, he's even got his own podcast, so I can just kind of see him being the guy.
Publisher of UGASports.com, Roddy Nabolsi, joining us here on the morning shift. Roddy, look, you talked about how many players might enter the portal from Georgia. Is there any maybe spots on the roster or position groups where Kirby kind of looks at the portal and says, you know what, maybe we need to go shopping here?
God, he needs a quarterback. And that's not a shot at Carson Beck or Gunnar Stockton or even Ryan Puglisi.
but he wants four. You got to have four QBs to just run practice like the way he wants to. And you saw yesterday that Gunner had to take a vast majority of the snaps because he's only got two scholarship quarterbacks that are healthy. So with Puglisi having a knee issue, and we were told the other day there's a kneecap issue. Kirby says it's a stress fracture. We're told it's a kneecap issue, but we'll find out. He should be fine for come fall ball. But if you're going into the season with only three guys, what was – I mean, first quarter yesterday, Tate Ratledge rolls into the back of Carson Beck's legs. Carson goes down. He was fine. But you had to think, well, there goes the whole bloody season. If that happens – and again, remember, year two under Kirby Smart – Jacob Eason, he plays in the season. He gets hurt. So you quarterbacks get hurt all the time. Heck, FSU got kept out of the playoffs because the quarterback got hurt, and then their second quarterback got hurt. The point being, you could see a situation where you have to have guys ready to go. And if he only has three scholarship QBs, he needs a fourth one to get one out of the portal. I could also see him maybe going for a defensive lineman, defensive end, defensive tackle. You want a difference maker on that defensive front. You've got some veteran guys there, but you don't have a Devontae Wyatt. You know, you don't have a Jordan Davis, a Carter, a Walker. So I can definitely see them checking your guy who can actually move, who can go toe-to-toe with that good offensive line and actually make some plays. So to me, I'd keep an eye on the quarterback and maybe a defensive lineman.
Well, division play's gone in the SEC, inter-Oklahoma, inter-Texas. What team are you kind of keeping an eye on that might emerge this year that's kind of been maybe middle of the pack? Is there anyone?
I'd probably say Missouri. I like Texas. I mean, but I can't really say emerge when they made it to into the playoffs. But Oklahoma could be. But Missouri's, they've got the NIL thing figured out. They keep getting top players here and there. They got Williams DeWanery. They were able to get Luther Burden. They've got some good quarterbacks. They just went toe-to-toe with Georgia for a freshman quarterback, Matt Zollers, and Zollers picked Missouri. That was mainly kind of a fit issue. He felt like he had a better chance to start there than he did at Georgia. But they're slowly getting better, and they're not doing it in huge chunks like Georgia does when they signed the number one class by far. But they're getting good classes. They've got a good coach, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. So I could see them – again, middle of the pack, that was your qualification there. Somebody who you might not expect to be really good, I could see them doing it.
Roddy, I know Malachi Starks didn't play on Saturday, but this defensive back group is revamped, losing quite a few guys. How do you expect them to replace what they've lost with guys, and now they've got guys like K.J. Bolden and Jake Pope coming in?
Yeah, I love K.J. Bolden. We covered him just about every game that he was at. When he was at Buford, thought he was really good. Ellis Robinson, that's all we're hearing about is how good Ellis Robinson is, a cornerback, number one cornerback in the nation, number one safety. You lose three of your five starting defensive backs to the NFL, that you should have a huge reset. You should be terrified of it. But the fact is you've got three cornerbacks who could all start. We saw Daylon Everett and Julian Humphrey start yesterday, but then Daniel Harris could also be a starter. That's also a situation where you got to worry about maybe losing one of those guys to the portal because you have three elite cornerbacks, and you got two spots. Jonelle Aguero could be really good at star. I think he's got big shoes to fill for Tyke Smith, but the secondary group is absolutely loaded with talent, but it's very, very young. When we saw them make some good plays yesterday, there are a lot of interceptions yesterday. Of course, Mykael Williams tipping one to himself doesn't really count for the secondary, but they played some plays. C.J. Allen baiting Carson Beck into one. Balls will be intercepted this year, but they are going to be able to protect that young secondary and bring them along because your front seven is so good. But by the end of it, it's going to be a no-fly zone because you're not going to be able to throw a Malachi Starks or Julian Humphrey or Ellis Robinson, K.J. Bolden, maybe midway through the year is one of your starters. It's going to be a filthy secondary. You can just see Kirby Smart's happy about it, but he's got to be worried about maybe losing one of those guys to the portal.
You can follow him on X at Roddy Nabulsi, RadinabulSi. He is the publisher of UGASports.com. Roddy, thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Going to come back, hand it off to the Steakhouse. The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game.